everybody, and welcome to Dungeon Stories. We are back with another episode. More Dungeons & Dragons, more hanging out, more rolling dice,
more of
me talking without planning ahead what I'm going to say. Here at the top of the show, we would like to take a moment to shout out a few of our friends like Roll20.net. If you visit Roll20.net, you can do what we're doing, and you can play D&D online. It's fantastic. It allows you to video and voice chat with your friends. It allows you to have a map, an online digital tabletop that you and your friends can all see and interact with. It's great. We love Roll20. We'd also like to say thank you to D&D Beyond. Go to dndbeyond.com, and you can have a online digital tool set for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. You can make character sheets in there. You can make encounters and homebrew items and homebrew monsters. Basically, it's everything that you need to play D&D in one super easy-to-use website. It's fantastic. Thank you, D&D Beyond, for letting us utilize your services. And finally, we'd like to say thank you to HeroForge.com. Visit HeroForge.com to make your own custom miniatures for your tabletop role-playing game. Whether you are playing D&D like we are, or something else like Call of Cthulhu or RuneQuest, you can make a character that will fulfill the dreams of your wildest imagination. They have genres ranging from fantasy to sci-fi to modern to western. You can make any kind of miniature that you'd like, so visit HeroForge.com to check them out. That is where we get our lovely character portraits. So check out HeroForge for that. And with that out of the way, everybody, my name is Norin, and I am your Dungeon Master.
I'm Easton. I'm playing Azel, the human elf. Or elf? Nope, I'm not a human elf. I'm a human monk.
Hi, and my name is Jenny. I play Alondra, the elf paladin.
My name is Michael. I play Aaron, the elf dwarven wizard.
Man, that was not our smoothest. That was not the easiest that has been.
It is what it is. Azel's right. Cosplaying as an elf this session.
Well, everyone, now that you know who we are, it's time to let you know what we've done. Last time on Dungeon Stories, the party, while traveling from the town of Rubbleton to the town of Cobble to investigate the Elfronis sisters, who are supposedly involved in the disappearances of a number of children, the party was attacked by a group of kobolds who, after slaying Aaron and then the party's friend sacrificing themselves to revive Aaron, the kobolds were defeated, and the party was able to engage in a sort of puzzle involving a statue and some locks with certain carvings around them. They were able to solve this puzzle and solve the puzzle, unlock the lockbox, and reveal a ring of disappearance that the kobolds were hunting down and protecting. So you have all found that and then found yourself in a long rest. So everyone go ahead and click that long rest button if you have not already.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The ring lets me also make someone else invisible, by the way. So I can have it target other people, so it's not too important who has it, I guess.
Yeah. So with that, you are all able to find rest. And again, as has been kind of a theme, for some of you, that rest comes easier than for others. But regardless, you are all able to find yourselves in a long rest, recharged, rested, a little bit saddened and tired. Those of you that had exhaustion, that has faded away. I'm really bad at remembering exhaustion. I think at least two of you had exhaustion. And so,
yeah, it goes away after a long rest.
Yeah, but yeah. While we were solving that puzzle, ability checks are supposed to be a disadvantage. I'm so bad at remembering exhaustion. That's what level one exhaustion does.
That's right.
So bad at remembering that. But it doesn't matter anymore because you have rested and you are no longer exhausted. You are the opposite of exhausted. And so on the 19th of the Illusion Moon, you wake and you can continue your journey should you so choose. You can continue your journey towards Kabul.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Figure out where these kids were.
Okay. So you guys have been traveling.
Keep going down the path.
Yeah, this is about, I want to say this is the start of day 9 on your journey. So you begin.
Yes.
You begin marching on day 9, traveling east across the road. And this is more of the same. Rolling green hills. Sometimes you're walking flat. Sometimes you find yourself kind of hiking up an incline from the hills. Sometimes you're kind of doing that little bit of a pedal to keep yourself from tumbling down the hill as you are descending a rather steep portion. But you're kind of rolling. The road itself is dirt. It looks like at one point there may have been an attempt to pave it, but that attempt did not get very far. So there are just random spots that have like cobblestones in them, but then it fades away. There are the remnants of a fence lining the road. In places, in other places, it's fully rotted and fallen away. And this is just pretty country. Picture, I've said it before, the Shire from Lord of the Rings, just that like bright, lush green, and everything is kind of like idyllic, and there are birds chirping. Just picture that, but with way more stones and ruins. Like every once in a while, you'll see an Easter Island head off in the distance, something like that. So that's kind of the vibe of the place that you're traveling. And as your journey continues, it's rather quiet. You know that you're getting close. This 9th day passes without incident. You're able to take another long rest, wake up, and on the 10th day of your journey, you begin traveling once again. And at around 11 a.m., you begin to be able to see Kabul in the distance. Your view of the town grows clearer as you approach it. As you know, as that is wont to do, you begin to approach, and you can tell as you get closer, like you can see it on the horizon at about 11. Takes you another couple hours to reach it fully, but you can see that Kabul as you approach is surrounded by a low stone wall about 4 feet high. The city seems to be of medium size, a little bit smaller than Rubbleton, but not small enough to be considered a village. Like Rubbleton, the outskirts of the town here are surrounded by a handful of farms. You can tell there's rich farmland. It goes from lush green to this tilled, rich soil. You can see various crops beginning to kind of pop up here. And there are people out kind of tending this farmland. You are able to enter Kabul here as you come by. There is not, like, a gate or anything. It's just a low wall, like I said, about 4 feet, so you could easily step over it if you needed to. And this just looks to kind of mark the boundary of the city here. So as the road comes in from the east, I sent you all a map in Discord. You can see the city of Kabul in that map that I sent to you. But you are coming in from the east. So you are on, it's actually going to be the road that's on the westernmost side of town because you're heading eastward into it. So the little bridge that's crossing over there on the western side of the map, that's where you're kind of coming in at. And there are no gates or anything like that. It's just open. You're able to walk in. And as you enter Kabul, you can see why the city got its name. Basically, every inch of this town is paved with cobblestone. Even the buildings are nearly all stone, with almost no wood in sight to make frames or anything like that. It's all stacked wood, or sorry, stacked rock, stacked stone. And as you walk in, you can see the center of town has a large pond in it. And this pond is murky and dirty, almost brown in color. It's so full of mud and grime that it looks almost viscous, almost like a slime if you had like rubbed your hand through it. Clearly, the citizens of Kabul have had other things to concern themselves with aside from the upkeep of this pond. They've been a little bit more concerned with the children disappearing than, you know, cleaning out the pond. They've had some other stuff on their mind. As you come in, I mean, just to kind of recap what you know, you know that Kabul and Bloom's Edge down south have been losing children as well. It wasn't an isolated issue to Rubbleton. You know that one child has returned here, so you know that as well. And it's probably, you guys saw this place at 11, so it's probably about 1 p.m. by the time that you guys arrive and get into Kabul. You are surrounded by cobblestone. I'll just kind of switch the view over so we can get a little, just a taste for the atmosphere. There's nothing too important on here, but just to kind of get the feel of the city. But there is cobblestone all around you, the tall stone buildings, it makes the place feel dark, and it casts these really imposing, like, blocky shadows because everything is gray here. There are swinging lanterns on the street posts, and it's not dark enough to need them yet, but in some places the shadows are so heavy that you kind of welcome the lanterns. Okay. But you guys have reached Kabul. What would you like to do?
Do we know how close the Alfronis sisters are in their rotation?
No. You have you have an estimate. I mean, you know that it took you 10 days to get here. You know that it takes about, let me check exactly. I have it written down exactly how long it takes to get from town to town. So it's about 10 days to get from Rubbleton to Kabul, which is what you did. Bloom's Edge is about 5 or 6 days from Rubbleton, and it's about 7 or 8 between Kabul and Bloom's Edge. So they would have been leaving Bloom's Edge. So you guys, you get this, you know that they'll probably be here in anywhere between a day to 3 days. It is your best guess based on the information that you know.
Not bad.
With that in mind, Azel would look to the crew, and how long do you guys want to stay here for? Are we looking to stay for a while, or just for the range that we estimate the sisters will arrive?
Probably just for the sisters. I mean, that's really, I mean, I want to continue on my exploration. So this is just kind of a temporary quest that needs to be done.
Amen, brother. All right. Well, maybe we should see if we can find an inn. Or we can certainly camp out in the wilderness if you'd like for free.
I think if we stayed at the inn, we would be able to ask the locals about the kid who disappeared and maybe see if that leads us anywhere.
True. They might even have some resources for us as well.
True.
Well, let's do it. Is it fairly easy to find an inn?
Yeah.
Or, so, like, would it take a little bit?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty easy. most places like this, you know, they're pretty vocal about where their tavern and their inn is, because anyone that passes by, they, you know, they want them to come and stay there. That's how they get a lot of their money. So it's pretty easy to find. The inn here is, it's got a tavern in one portion and an inn up top. You know, it's just an efficient way to do business. But this place is called the Rough Hewn. And it's pretty busy at this time. You know, this is about lunchtime that you guys are here, so people on their lunch break from the farms, or, you know, what other jobs they might have at the mill. There's a sawmill up kind of in the northern portion of town. So people on the break from the sawmill or from the farms. This is lunch hour, lunch rush. You're kind of at the tail end of it. So there's some people kind of leaving. And as you walk in, you haven't seen a lot of people on the streets. This has felt kind of a little, I don't want to say unwelcoming, because you haven't really seen many people to act unwelcoming toward you. But that's just it. You haven't seen a ton of activity. There hasn't been a ton of bustle. People seem to be kind of locked up and keeping to themselves here. But you manage to reach the Rough Hewn. You can go in, and there's a number of patrons inside. This isn't a massively large town, but there's probably about 18 patrons in here. As you walk in, the eyes kind of turn toward you for a second, and people kind of let their stares linger maybe a little too long. And then they go back to their drink and kind of watch you as you come in.
Okay. So, I think Azel would probably just go to the keep, Haler, or him, or they, whoever they are.
And, okay.
Excuse me.
Okay, so kind of you catch the attention of who you assume to be the innkeep, the one who looks to be a little bit more in charge of this joint. And you are looking at a really tall human male, probably like 6'8", and he looks pretty bulky. Looks kind of ripped and muscled. And he's got like long salt and pepper hair that kind of comes down to his shoulders. He's got a little goatee and a handlebar mustache. And he's got some scars lining his cheek. Looks like claw marks. Scars on his cheek.
Okay.
And he comes walking over and he says, hello. How can I help you?
Well, me and my friends here were just wondering if you had, like, rooms available. We're looking for a place to stay.
Yes, that I do. We've got plenty of room. You know, we're not getting a ton of business as of late. People, the town with disappearing kids isn't the most alluring tourist attraction.
Well, you brought three of us here.
I suppose so. And judging by the weapons on your hips and the fancy book on that one's, you seem just like the type of people that this predicament would bring in. Adventurers, am I right?
Yeah, that is correct. Well, you see, we're a task force. We're looking for some, well, kids. We were told a task force.
Is that so? Under whose jurisdiction do you fall as a task force?
Just a little help.
The paladins from Rumblecrust.
Rumbleton, not Rumblecrust is Critical Role.
Close.
I promise I didn't copy Matt Mercer. At least not in this instance. I didn't copy Matt Mercer. I'm not gonna say I've never copied Matt Mercer, but. But yeah, so the paladins from Rumbleton.
Rumbleton.
He says, I see. And they sent you all the way out here.
Well, we came out here on our own accord. We heard, more or less figured that we would probably run into the Alphronis sisters while we were over here.
I mean, probably, they're, bound to be here soon. I think it's about that time of the month. But Jenny, what? But what? What hopes do you have in finding them? What? I'm not sure I see the correlation between missing kids and traveling merchants.
Well, it's not an open and shut case, but we have a number or quite a few pieces of evidence to suggest that they might or might not be involved. So we're just looking to ask them a few questions. Peaceful questions. Definitely not going to crack skulls.
Well, I think if you found out that they were involved, most of the town would be pretty surprised.
Why so?
Well, we haven't known them long. It's been probably 5 or 6 months that they've been coming, making this journey. So a recently new addition. But, they seem like nice enough folks. They've made an impression on the town. Everyone gets excited when they come by. To suddenly think that these people we've grown so fond of to think that they were behind our gravest misfortunes, I think that would be quite a shock.
Well, sometimes those that you don't expect may be the ones who are harming you.
I know that all too well. I used to be in your shoes myself, but I've since, my bones don't allow me move like they used to.
So you were an adventuring type, huh?
I was. I was.
Is that where you got those claw marks?
Indeed, yes. These are a souvenir I'll hold with me. One that I couldn't get rid of if I wanted to.
What gave you that souvenir?
It was a ferocious beast. I don't know if you've heard of a monster called a periton. It's like a giant bird with razor-sharp claws and a stag's head with knives for teeth.
Azel, you've lived in the jungle. Does that ring any bells to you?
It actually probably rings more bells to Michael than to you.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, to Aaron, I should say.
Michael? Who is this Michael?
Peritons, they make their homes in the mountains.
Oh, cool. How do you spell that?
P-E-R-Y-T-O-N.
Yeah, they don't look friendly.
Oh, yes, dang. I should have been summoning images of these. These are sick.
Yes, it was a ferocious encounter. But, while I may have come away with this, I'm still breathing and that monster's not.
Mounted over the fireplace?
Pretty sure that's like a direct quote from Aaron last episode.
You turn and look. Sick. He kind of gestures, and you turn and look, and there is a set of antlers, stag antlers, above the fireplace. And he says, "I just so, just so."
Respect.
Yeah. Well, perhaps would you have some lodging for some adventurers and hopefully aiders to your own city?
Aye, indeed. You know, you lot have made a good impression on me, and I said that most of the town would be surprised by the sisters. As a former adventurer, my instincts are not to trust so quickly. So I don't think I would be surprised as the others, but you've made a good impression. You're here to help. And I know I sound like a hypocrite saying I don't trust people easily, but I trust you. And, why don't you go ahead,
boys.
Take a night or two on the house.
That's good. I have like 9 freaking gold.
Yeah, I haven't paid you guys, have I?
No, I need like... I have a spell scroll, right, Norin?
Yeah, you have a spell
scroll. I forgot to add that.
Spell scroll of Nock.
I don't know. Norin, that's the only spell scroll you've given, right?
I thought we found another one someplace else. I didn't write it down, though.
I'm pretty sure that's the only one. I'll go back through my notes and I'll get back to you, Michael. If there's another one that we missed, I'll let you know. But I'm pretty sure that's the only scroll.
Okay, and that's Nock, right? That's first level, or that's...
Second level. Nock is second level.
You know, sir, I don't think we caught your name.
Oh, good catch.
Oh, yes. My name is Bart.
Bart?
Yes.
Well, Bart, it's good to meet you. My name is Azel.
A pleasure.
I'm going to extend my hand.
He will grab it. He's got this big, meaty hand, and his knuckles are all covered in scars. His hands are calloused and rough, and he'll give you this big shake. And you are? He'll look at Alondra.
I'm Alondra. Alondra Elavera. Nice to meet you.
A pleasure. And he'll give you the same squeezing grip. And then he'll look to you, Aaron, and he'll say, and finally, you are?
My name is Aaron. Aaron Silverspruce.
A pleasure. He'll give you a shake, and as he shakes your hand, Avaros in your head will say, oh, you didn't introduce me.
And this is my book.
Wait, I'm the only one who can hear that?
You're the only one who can hear Avaros. He speaks in your head.
Okay, then, yeah, I'll just think back. If I'm not worthy of you, perhaps you're not worthy of introduction.
Oh!
Slap back.
You got to put him in his place. You got to put that...
lay on hands on that.
Yeah, show that asshole who's boss. Bart will take you back to the bar. He'll put a key in your hand. He says, "It's one room, all right."
Perfectly fine. You're already doing enough for us, Bart. Thank you.
It's got 2 beds in it. If that's any consolation, there's also an armchair. So.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Perfect. So he'll slap a key into your hand, and he says, "Feel free to ask around. I mean." I assume that's what you were gonna do anyway, but have at it and good luck. Let me know if I can be of aid.
Bart, before we put our stuff away, could you point us to the best direction of where we could find Josephine, the child who returned?
Yes. If you head to the center of townish, you'll see a there's a large chapel in town here. She lives right next door. Small house with a yellowed roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good move. I completely forgot her.
Also, if you're looking for kids returning, just yesterday we had another one.
What? Okay.
An 8-year-old boy named Duncan. He's actually Josephine's neighbor. Lives in the house right next to her.
Duncan.
Is it evening time?
Afternoon. It's about 1 p.m.
And it's right to assume that another child disappeared with his return.
Indeed. It's hard to feel we should be celebrating the return, but it's hard when we're also mourning the loss, you know.
Understandable. And do you know the name of this child that disappeared?
The one that disappeared? Milana.
Oh.
Milana.
Are there any other ways I can be of service to you at the moment?
Not that I can think of at the moment, Bart. Thank you.
All right, well.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck in your search. Let me know if you need me. I've got this rowdy bunch to get back to attending to.
Thanks. Of course. Again.
Good luck.
Aye, to you as well. And then he'll head off back into the... back into the little crowd that has gathered there.
I say we still have time in the day. I say we let's go check out those first two houses since they're neighbors and go from there.
I agree.
Sounds good to me.
Are you guys going to go get settled in your room first, or?
I say... I'd want to go to the room and cast detect magic just for the area of the inn.
Okay.
And then I'd be good to go.
Okay. So you make your way up the stairs, down the hall to your room. And this is something that's been a little bit present kind of while you've been in Kabul. You kind of forgot about it a little bit, having a good time talking to Bart, but it definitely comes back as you're walking up. This is a narrow staircase. It's probably hugging on your shoulders a bit, almost. It's a really narrow staircase that's, like, really steep. And this building is made of stone, like basically everything in Kabul. This staircase is also made of... So it's very cold. In this staircase as you're walking up it. And everything is just this kind of cold, kind of glossy cobblestone. And as you're walking up, it's like almost rubbing against your shoulders. It's very narrow and very steep as you're climbing up. So you kind of have to like bring your knees up almost to your chest to get up the staircase as you're moving up. It's almost like you could climb it like a ladder. But you make your way up and you climb to the floor. And as you're walking out of the corner of your eye, it's a little bit dark in here, like the staircase isn't lit, so those of you with dark vision are seeing in kind of mainly black and white, just kind of muted colors right now, and Azel without dark vision. It's not like pitch black, but you're definitely having to squint a little bit. Out of the corner of your eye, you think you see...
Oh, watch out, you're gonna miss a step, Azel.
Yeah, you kind of trip a little bit and catch yourself. out of the corner of your eye, kind of in the little patches in between stone, you see this like kind of green ooze kind of leak down, and then you look over and it's not there anymore, but it reminds you of the ooze that you had found in like the vase at in Rubbleton. But you make your way up the stairs and into your room, and Aaron, you cast detect magic. And you get, so aside from the magic that's on you know, your spell scroll and your ring that light up from the spell, just outside of, so the room that you walk into, it is stone, There is a nice fur rug in the middle of the floor. There is what looks to be like a bed big enough for two, probably like a full-size mattress. Two of those, kind of one in either corner. And then there's a nice-looking armchair next to a small fireplace. Kind of looks like you could burn it. There's not exactly like a chimney for the smoke to go out of, so you probably shouldn't light anything too big in here. But there is a big kind of double-paned window that kind of opens out two sides, like down the middle. So there's a large window. Aaron, as you cast Detect Magic, you get the kind of necromancy and divination that you're used to from like the eyes. It's kind of flitting outside the window, and you look quick and you see something dart away out of your view as you look at the window. So you can only, you barely catch a glimpse of it. You can't really make it out, but you can assume.
And then, like, I sense that it goes out of my range.
Yeah, like, flew away.
Could I, like, chase after it? Maybe?
I mean, you could try. You're up on the second story.
Yeah.
Parkour!
Leap through the window.
Yeah, you could. So, I mean, you could either rush downstairs and out and hope to catch it, or you could...
I would try and just quickly say they're here and quickly just run.
Descend the stairs?
Yeah, just running down the stairs.
Okay. I knew I recognized that slime.
You take off, and again, these are so steep that it's really tough. So you have to kind of, it's a lot to keep yourself from just tumbling ass over tea kettle down the stairs, but you make it to the bottom. Ooh. And out, and you kind of come around the back of the building to where your room is facing, and by the time that you reach there, it's long gone.
Gone. Okay.
Alondra, you saw that slime there too, right?
I did, yes. Once Aaron would have mentioned that something was seeing us, Alondra would have done a divine sense. And I think that has a bigger range than Detect Magic. I don't know if it would...
Is yours a mile?
Mine's 60 feet.
60 feet.
I think that's about what mine is, too.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so you probably, again, you sense it for a split second before it leaves.
Can Alondra jump out the window? And follow it that way?
I mean... Yeah, so you can jump out the window. Go ahead and make a dexterity saving throw for me as you.
Oh boy. Okay. First roll of the night. Okay. Well, of the session. Never mind. Not of the night.
Wow.
That is a 14.
Okay.
Solid.
14's fine. You're gonna take one. You're gonna take 1 point of damage as you kind of hit the ground and your teeth kind of rattle.
As you hit Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron's still in the room. He hasn't done squat.
Aaron,
I know,
like,
you're right.
Aaron is like descending the stairs by the time that you hit the ground. And you kind of take off in the direction. Your speed is 30, right?
Yes.
So these things are much faster than you. And especially since it is up above, you take off and you maybe are able to follow it for like a block. And then it is just out of your sight. It kind of like, it's up above and you kind of have a good eye on it, and then it drops down behind a building and it's just lost. You can't find it.
Can I go behind that building and just how long does this thing last? I don't even think it lasts that long. No, it just does one action. Okay. Once he gets to the back of the building, she's gonna cast another divine sense, because why the hell not?
Yeah. You.
Yeah.
You don't pick anything up.
Okay.
Well, I...
Having seen...
I'd say getting...
Having heard what Aaron said and seeing him dart down the stairs and Alondra jump out of window, Azel would... That's more than enough reason to believe that people are in danger, so Azel would probably go back down to Bart.
Okay. So you come back down the stairs.
You just want to get Bart, laid. Let's be real.
Bart, his hands are kind of piled high with dishes, and he's walking back to the sink to put him down.
Bart, when you have a moment.
Bro.
Oi, let me... Give me a sec. He kind of sets him down and he says, what do you need, Azel?
Me and my friends have reason to believe that people are in danger. We need everybody to get out of the inn as fast as they can.
You think we're in danger here? What from? You know, it doesn't matter. If you think we're in danger, I trust your instincts.
You're gonna put us in bad sides.
And he kind of crawls up on top of the bar. He stands up and he bellows, "Oi! Everybody needs to get out. Get to your homes where you're safe. We have reason to believe there's danger afoot here." And everyone starts to kind of... There's like a little bit of panic going. And he's like, "Everyone remain calm. Don't panic. Just, you know, a nice calm evacuation. If there is such a thing." And everyone, you know, there's definitely a panic bubbling. People are filing out, trying to keep it cool in front of Bart. No one wants to embarrass themselves in front of Bart. But you can tell that there's like this boil, they're reaching this boiling point as they start to flood out. And he hops down off the bar and he says, "All right, what do we need to do?"
I'm going to start investigating to see if I can recognize like any of like the key things from the previous homes that we've seen, like any of like the main like vases or like I don't know.
Okay.
Just like
make an investigation
scope
check.
Scope it out. 18.
So. He definitely, like, there are shelves kind of around the room, some, and different, there's like two fireplaces down here in the middle, on either end of the tavern here. Each one of them has like a mantle that is lined with, you know, different knickknacks. And you, there's definitely a few things that catch your eye that look like they might be something that they could get based on what you've seen and heard. The Elfrona sisters sell. There's a couple things that catch your eye that might be wares of theirs. You don't know for sure just by looking at them, but.
Okay. I would walk up to what I can kind of recognize and I would ask back to Bart, like, where did you get these items?
Okay. Yeah, he'll kind of point to, There's like an urn that looks to be made of like bronze, and it's got carvings in it of like manticores kind of prancing around it. He's like, "I got that one from the Elfrona sisters." He'll point to the other mantle, and there is a... It looks to be like a nice kind of, not necessarily like a weapon dagger, but like a decoration dagger kind of hanging on the wall. And it's got like a jeweled hilt in a jeweled pommel. He says, "I got that from the Elfrona sisters." He'll point to kind of on the ground next to that. There's like a wooden chest. And he says, "And I got that from the sisters as well. I thought it would be a nice, a nice place to store things. A little extra knickknacks."
Good job, Azel.
Way to go.
Right. As he's pointing them out, I would kind of just start like taking them and putting them kind of like in a neat pile or like close together so we can like, whenever Aaron's available, like we can investigate it a little further.
Okay. So you take the urn, you go and you get the knife, you walk over to the chest.
Would I have like felt that in my detect magic?
These items themselves, I think the things that ping for you most of the time is the stuff hiding inside, like the hands and the eyes. So these items themselves did not ping your your detect magic. But Azel, as you kind of gather these up, you bend down to like grab that chest.
Oh boy. Right.
And does a 17 hit your armor class?
It meets it.
Okay. As you reach down, all of a sudden the chest opens up and the lip underneath the lid of it forms into teeth and chomps down on your hand. That's going to be 8 points of piercing damage.
Ooh.
And 7 points of acid damage.
Okay. Oh!
Your boy's bloodied!
And Bart yells out, "Oi! It's a mimic!" Go ahead and roll initiative.
Shit.
It's a good thing you're fighting with your booty call.
Delandra and Aaron, too, please roll initiative.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Damn it! Oh my gosh!
Dude, what the fuck, you guys?
Natural one.
I'm in here fighting a mimic, and you guys are just walking.
Landra jumped out a window
and then proceeded to take a walk.
I ran.
Oh, it's beautiful here.
Well, maybe I want to find someone too. If you already found the sugar daddy.
Okay. All right, so the mimic is up first.
No.
Sorry, Azel.
It's fine.
I was going to like say that I had come and just like took all that stuff outside and lit it on fire, but you beat me to it. And
hey, it is what it is, man.
So Azel, it chomps down, and you kind of pull your hand back instinctively. All of a sudden, this, like, slimy, like this rocket of slime that kind of is attached to it, kind of, like, launches out and attempts to, like, hit you in the shoulder. And that's going to be, 18.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay, that's going to be 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, not bad, not bad, not bad.
It strikes you in the shoulder, and then it hits you and it sticks.
What?
And it begins to kind of pull you forward toward it. You find it kind of like pulling you in almost like a fishing rod. It is like stuck and adhered itself to you, and you feel it kind of like pulling you in.
It's the tongue!
Toward its mouth. Azel, it's your turn.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend
You're considered grappled by it.
Okay. I'm going to spend a Kai point to activate my Arms of the Astral Self.
This is
that sounds fun.
It, It's just like kind of panic, and Azel doesn't necessarily know what's going on when he like casts it. But like clouds of like this weird cosmic dust kind of like explodes from him and then kind of condenses into these arms that float around him, and the ends of his scarfs, like the fabric starts to wrap around his arms, much like the athletic tape on his hands. So his arms are like, the astral arms are covered in like the scarf, just like the athletic tape.
And cool. That's awesome.
Reflects that. But I can use my wisdom modifier in place of my strength when making a strength check or a saving throw. So I'm going to try to ungrapple myself and like pull the slime like off.
Awesome. Yeah. Go ahead and make an athletics check.
That's a 22.
That's really good. You are going to beat it. It got a 16. So you are able to detach yourself from it. And that is an action to break free of the grapple.
Sweet. I don't know, like, can I use my movement to jump back away from it once I, like, pull the slime off?
Yeah, you can move. Without disengaging, it'll get an opportunity attack.
Okay, well then we're going to spend another Kai point to take the... Oh, never mind. I can't do that.
Why not?
I'm just going to stay there because I already used my bonus action.
Oh, putting out the arms is a bonus action?
Wind, but... Yeah.
I see.
I think I'm just going to chill there then.
Okay. Awesome. After you, Bart is going to leap over the counter. He's going
to... Ooh, you get to see your man in action.
He's going
to
pull open this drawer that's about... It's one of those long kind of cupboard drawers. Pulls it out. He pulls out a long sword from it.
Yeah, he does.
It's going to be his action to take out the long sword. And then meanwhile... Aaron and Alondra, you guys don't know that this is occurring. You're both kind of outside.
Yep.
No clue.
No clue at all.
What would you guys like to do?
I would tell Alondra, it seems to have passed. I say we go with our previous plan.
Did he catch up to me? Or was I further up away?
You were further away. Oh, I imagine that you were coming back as he, because you leapt out and ran a little bit ahead, came back. He went down the stairs and went. So I imagine you guys met like halfway.
Okay. It's a dead end. I lost them. I lost it.
I did as well.
Azel didn't follow you out?
Oh, I believe he must still be inside.
We should go get him, and then we'll spend our action and movement to go back to the inn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys begin to head back. Okay. So after that, it is the mimic's turn. An Azel, it's going to shoot out another pseudopod at you.
Is it a range?
This is a melee weapon attack. but I think it's going to miss. It's a 14.
Yep.
It comes. It shoots another, like, almost, you know those, like, you can get them at like, arcades. You turn in enough tickets. You get one of those little sticky hands that you can, like, stretch out.
Yeah!
It's kind of like that, except instead of a hand, it's like a like a blob on the end of it, and so it kind of like whips out at you and then retracts back. But you manage to just like dodge out of the way. It's this like kind of purple, purple goop. So that was its turn.
Dear God.
Azel, it's your turn.
Okay, I am going to, let's see what's popping here. So I am going to, oh wait. Shoot, it's past now, but for the future, whenever I activate it, or my arms, each creature of my choice that can see me or that I can see within 10 feet needs to succeed a saving throw or take 2d4 force damage.
Oh, shit, let's make him do it.
But it's passed.
No, man, it's good. We just, it's your first time using the ability, it's fine. What's he doing, Dex?
Okay. Yep.
4.
That's a fail. So that's going to be 2d4 force.
Awesome.
And that's a total of 4 damage.
Great, yeah. So as your arms burst out, they kind of struck the mimic. And so now you're standing in front of him. You've got your regular arms and then these glowing ghost arms coming out of you as well.
Hell yeah. Okay. So we are going to, let's see, I think I have a little bit of range with my arms as well.
Yeah, I think they have a reach.
It's 5 feet.
Cool. So you can hit someone that's a total of 10 feet.
My reach is for 5 feet.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, so I'm going to use my arms to try to hit the mimic or to give it a good punch.
Okay, go for it.
Well, fuck, that's an 8.
That misses.
Okay, I'm going to spend a Kai point for Flurry of Blows. Okay. We're going to go two
Heck
more
yeah.
times. Oh my god, that's another 8.
We have one more attack. Oh.
11 is also a miss.
That's an 11.
Yep, that's also a miss.
I gave it
my all.
Your
ghost arms kind of punch at it, and they miss 3 times. And you're like, I've never used these before.
Not my day, man. I'm going to use my free action to call out for Alondra and Aaron.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to hear.
Yeah, I would say...
Alondra, Aaron!
Yeah, you probably do here, and I'll say this round you guys are able to get inside, so you can get just inside the door.
Just inside the door?
Yeah. Okay. Aaron, is there anything you'd like to do as you enter?
Definitely something that I am going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cast Firebolt. And actually, wait, let me check.
We had to put out a fire last time!
Yeah, wait, one moment.
Can I cast Toll of the Dead?
Don't burn down my boyfriend's inn!
Yeah, sorry, so that has to be done with a spell slot. So, I was thinking I could change it, but I can't do that to cantrips. So I am going to cast Mind Sliver. Oh, whoops. Okay. It has to do a save for that.
So. Wisdom?
It has to do a intelligence saving throw.
Ooh.
Intelligence. Well, that's even worse. So that's going to be a 3.
Mm. Okay, yeah. So it'll take some damage. Do you want me to re-roll the dice?
It's up to you.
Well, I'll keep it with the 6.
Okay.
So it's going to take 6 points of psychic damage, I believe. Yeah, 6 points of psychic damage, and its next saving throw has minus 1d4 to it. So,
okay, awesome.
Blast him with my third eye.
Nice.
Wait. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Okay. And then I forgot to have Bart go, so I'll make him go before you, Alondra. He's going to come running in with his longsword. And he's going to make an attack. He'll hit.
Ooh.
He's got two hands on it, so it'll be d10. That's going to be 7 points of damage. Awesome. So he comes running up. He takes his blade and he gives this big, like almost like golf club swing down at this chest and strikes it. And then Alondra, you were doing totally dead?
Yes, I'm going to point a finger to the mimic and cast Toll of the Dead.
Okay. Wisdom save?
Such a good spell.
Yes.
14.
With the d4?
Oh, no. 10.
It fails.
Yes, sir!
Awesome. So it should be a d12 for you since he's lost hit points.
It's 5 necrotic damage.
Fantastic. All right, so you come in, Aaron sends out his third eye, opens up and sends out this beam, and right as it strikes, you make the sound of this this dolorous bell ringing and emanating, and the mimic just kind of shrieks.
Can it have, like, barnacles and be blue?
The bell? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it appears in front of you. This blue metallic bell covered in barnacles, and you give it this big strike, and the mimic shrieks. And on the top of the chest, these little red eyes, like, a whole bunch of them, like 23 of them, open up.
What?
At the top of it.
Oh, no.
I don't like that. Azel doesn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. Not cool.
And then the mimic is next. It is going to reach out and attempt to do the pseudopod against Bart. That's going to be an 18
boy.
To hit Bart.
He's not wearing armor.
Right, so it's definitely going to hit.
Fuck.
Gonna be 8 points of damage to Bart.
Ooh.
Strikes into him and then adheres to him and begins to like reel him in.
Oh.
Azel, you're next.
Okay, here we go again. I'm gonna do another unarmed strike against
the
mimic.
Is this with
my
the astral,
arms?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's much better. 21 to hit.
Yeah.
That definitely hits it.
He just needed that motivation.
Yeah. So that's going to be 7 points, but I'm going to do... Or what's it looking like right now? After I strike it.
It's definitely bloodied now. That was a good hit you put into it.
Yeah, we're going to do another flurry of blows with my last ki point.
Awesome.
Son of a gun. 12. To hit on the next one.
12 hits.
Yay!
Oh my! I'll take it. 6 damage.
Okay.
For 6 more damage.
Yeah, fantastic.
And then for the last...
Oh. 8.
That's a miss.
Oh.
Balls.
Today is not your night.
Got 2 of them in there, though.
Yeah.
As Bart hit it with his sword stuck to it too, kind of adhered, and so he's trying to like wrest his sword off, and then he gets punched, and he gets stuck to it that way, so he's kind of stuck in it pretty well. Your ghost arms, you've got a little bit of distance between you and the mimic, and your ghost arms are just like beating into it, and it's starting to lose its chest shape, and reveal more of this like gooey monster. So now it's
Oh.
like it's starting, the top of it is starting to lose that woody texture and color. It's starting to turn into this like almost like goopy purple chitin. And after
Yummy.
you, it's Bart's turn. He is like fully stuck to this thing. His blade is attached to it, and he is stuck to it. So he's just gonna try to get out. And he is not going to be able to. He got a 10 versus an 18 from the mimic. He remains grappled.
Damn.
Not cool.
Oh, looks like the mimic has a set DC, but even so, a 10 is below it. So he is still stuck. So that's Bart's turn. Aaron, it's your turn.
Okay, what I'm going to do. Ooh, so I just cast Mind Sliver. How is it looking? Is it looking pretty good?
The mimic,
Yeah.
it's, I mean, it's bloodied. It's not like about to topple over, but it's not great.
Okay. Yeah, then in this case, I will. Oh man, this is difficult. Is there? Okay, what can I do here? I want to make this easy. What I'm going to do, is there anything that I could pick up with my mage hand and drop on this chest in this room?
Yeah,
Maybe
plenty.
another thing on the shelf that I can just drop onto it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is behind the counter. It looks like he was planning on storing like kind of silverware and stuff, and just like maybe dirty dishes in it. But it's right by a shelf that has like three kegs on the edge of it.
No, not the kegs.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
There's also
No,
dishes and candles.
please.
Don't
Don't
start
sacrifice the
another
turkey
fire.
ham. I'll just go for a good old magic missile
Okay.
at this thing. I don't want to destroy anything of this guy. So yeah, I'm just gonna go with a good old magic missile.
All right. Go ahead and tell me what the damage is.
Ooh, one was a. Let's see, so that's
Okay.
five.
Ooh.
Let's
Oh,
see it. Let's see
yes.
it.
10. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah,
14.
that's.
It's
Dog.
dead. It has to be dead.
Now it's looking rough.
Oh.
Girl.
As
Now it's looking rough.
these
Oh,
beams
no.
fly out from you and strike into it. It does not look like a chest at all anymore. You are looking at like a purple blob with like 32 red eyes
Oh
and
my
massive
God.
sharp teeth. Imagine Grimace from the McDonald's commercials, but without arms or legs, with 32 red eyes over him with no pupils, just like pure red, and giant, like knife-like teeth. So just Grimace, but if you made him even more horrifying than he already is.
Oh.
Oh, good God.
That's scary. And
Okay.
like if you microwaved Grimace for like
What a
8 minutes,
sentence.
if you microwaved Grimace for like 8 minutes, you would get what this mimic looks like at this moment. Okay. That is going to end Aaron's turn? Question mark?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be my turn.
Okay. That is going to start Elandra's turn. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
Exclamation point,
Okay.
dude. No question.
Alondra is gonna. Can she, with her movement, make it up to this grimace looking monster?
Yeah, tavern's not too big. You can cross it.
Okay. She will go out to the grimace and make a long arc with her rapier and try to slash at it.
Okay. Go ahead and make an attack.
Okay. A natural 20.
Yes, ma'am!
That hits.
Okay. Rapier. Oh, yes! This is going to be so good. 19 piercing damage.
Shoot!
I rolled an 8 on the hit die. No lie.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that'll do it. You come up and you look Grimace dead in the eyes. This one's for the Hamburglar, and you give him a big old slash and you cut him clean in two. He just kind of melts into this purple goop that kind of like begins to smoke and dissolve the wood a little bit, but eventually it fades away. Okay. And there's these two like charred sections in the wood now from the two halves of this mimic that has dissolved into this acidy goop on the floor. There's just these charred burn marks now, but you have slain the mimic.
See,
Alondra actually swore her oath to the Hamburglar.
Torrance, this whole time is secretly a Hamburglar.
That's the villain of this campaign.
Torrance,
Ronald McDonald.
I swore my oath to.
Elfrana's sisters are a red herring.
Thakos is actually McDonald Land.
I dig.
And the gods, I'll be down for that. The gods are all just Mayor McCheese in different costumes.
Elfrona's sisters are the Wendy's mascot in Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's why we're trying to kill them. They're the enemies.
I love it.
And that's the one friend that we didn't mention at the start of this show, because we're saving our best sponsor for last. Brought to you by McDonald's.
Go try their new spicy chicken mix sandwich. It'll only give you partial heartburn.
Partial heartburn? Only half of your heart feels like it's on fire.
All right.
So you have slain this mimic, this surprise evildoer. Bart
surprise.
He's kind of looking at the kind of tear in his shirt now from where it got stuck to by the acid goop. He's got this like kind of hole in his shirt here now. A little bit of like burnt skin underneath. Azel, definitely from where you got bit and the acid is on you, you got kind of like this scar forming on your arm. And Bart says, "Well, that thing stayed hidden for a couple weeks before making itself known. I don't know. What about you? It decided it didn't like to make itself to finally come out of hiding, but..."
Are we the bad guys?
Dun, dun, dun.
"But thank you for helping me. Thanks for defeating the monster I'd been secretly giving quarter to.
No problem. I'm just glad nobody else got hurt.
And, you know, I think this has definitely clued me into your theory a bit more. I bought this from the Elfrona sisters."
Yeah, I will take that pile outside and try and firebolt it.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a bronze urn and a dagger, so you have to sit there and probably it takes a few to get anything to change about them, but I'd say you can melt them down at least enough to where you think they're not functional anymore.
While Aaron sounds does good. This, Alondra's going to turn to Azel and say, "How are you looking? Do you need some healing?"
I wouldn't mind it, but I wonder if there's a cleric in town that can do it for us.
Bart says, "Well, if you're looking for Josephine and Duncan, if you're looking for Josephine and Duncan, they're right next to the chapel. You know, you'd Church? Probably find a cleric there. Well, I say probably, you will. That is where they hang out.
Go confess your sins, young Azel.
What? Perhaps I'd be wise to make sure that the families aren't injured in case they purchase similar artifacts.
Well, again, thank you for ridding the premises of, you know, these, that monster and those items. Hopefully the sisters make themselves known soon so they can answer to you.
May I ask certainly about so. how far are we from their home, from the temple?
Oi, town's not too big. It's not more than 3 minutes from here. The tavern and the church are both decently close to the center of town, so.
If that is so, I will prepare something here in your tavern so that I can have it as we traverse the town. And I'll work on casting detect magic so that it can be active as we're walking through town towards the houses.
Okay.
Before we leave, Azel will look to Alondra. Perhaps you would want to heal our friend here, make sure that he's in fighting form.
Oh, yes, of course. He lost 8 hit points, right?
Yeah.
Okay, she'll kind of awkwardly pat him on the back and pump 8 points of healing from her lay on hands pull.
Okay. As you touch him, there's this, like, blue-tinted sea fog that kind of rolls out from your hand and kind of coats Ooh. His wound and rolls down like a waterfall down his arm, and the burn mark on him kind of heals itself, the skin returns to normal, and he says, "Oi, that's a nifty trick you've got there. Thank you. I feel a lot better now."
You're welcome.
All right. Aaron, you managed to turn on your detect magic, and
just as we're walking around,
so you guys can set off again. Like I said, it's not far. You can make it to you're going to the church first, or what's the plan?
I would like to check out the houses at least while I have this active.
Yeah, Azel's gonna go for the temple.
Okay, so
he's just gonna excuse himself and point to his injury and be like, "Gotta get this taken care of really fast. I'll meet you two there."
I can heal you a bit if you'd like me to. I still have some pool remaining.
I think we should save it just in case.
Alrighty. Your decision.
Okay. So again, the girl Josephine, she lives her house, the one that Bart directed you to, is right next door to the church. They're probably 30 feet apart from one another, if that, maybe 20 space in between them. So Azel just kind of splits off while Alondra and Aaron walk up to the front door of the house. Azel, this church that you walk into is it's decently large. There is a kind of a steeple, and there's a stained glass, a circle of stained glass in it that is depicting a night sky with a moon in it. And the moon,
okay.
You notice that it is, it's silver, which the moon isn't usually silver. in Thakos. It kind of changes and glows different colors based on the month, based on which type of magic it's empowering. One of those is not really silver, so that kind of stands out. But this is associated with Stelnos. You guys are in Fengor, and Stelnos is the deity in charge here. So this temple is dedicated to Stelnos, and as you walk in, this looks, they don't necessarily do services here, especially because Stelnos is a deity that likes to kind of keep to themselves a bit more. They're a little distant and they're a little mysterious, so they don't really do full-on services like some of the other deities would. This looks more like a place that has like a statue of them kind of in the back, and it looks like a place where people would come and leave offerings, and it looks like a place for the paladins and the clerics that worship Stelnos in this area to kind of group up and call like kind of a bastion for themselves. It's a place where they can kind of hang out and regroup and that kind of thing. But there are plenty there, and they are willing to heal you up. A cure wounds, they're probably going to ask you for 5 gold to pull that off.
Okay.
Man, that's like half the money I own. I need 100 gold
it's
to transcribe
the money
that spell.
shoot, yeah, I don't have gold. Well, I will thank them regardless, but can I pull one aside and ask them about the meaning of the Silver Moon?
Yeah. They'll just explain that that is the symbol of Stelnos. Though the moon does not usually reflect that color here on Thakos, it is the true form of the moon that Stelnos represents. The moon untainted by arcane energy is pure and silver, and that is Stelnos.
Okay. I'll thank them for their time, but explain that I don't have the gold necessary to cover the cost, but thank them again, and then I would regroup.
As you're walking away, that cleric that you're speaking to will kind of say, well, a low-level cure wounds doesn't take components, and you seem nice enough, and I'm not one to turn someone away empty-handed, so they will pump a cure wounds into you. 9 points of healing.
Yep, I'll thank them profusely, and then try to be respectful of their place and head out.
Okay. Meanwhile, Alondra and Aaron, you come up to the house, and what would you like to do?
I just kind of like walk around as much of the house as I can, just to kind of let my detect magic still ping anything, if possible, between, I think there are 2 houses back to back that had kids return.
Yeah, they're neighbors. You can see the other one kind of right there next door.
Yeah, so that's what I do. I just try and see if I can ping anything while we're here in the area.
Okay. I'd say that you probably, the time that you get to the house, there is that the bat, at least one of them, maybe it's not the same eye bat, the same flying eye, it might not be the same one, you can't tell, but it is there, and it flits off as you approach. It's the same kind of thing that was by the by the tavern, right. But it flies away again as you approach it. But other than that, neither of the houses are pinging anything for you.
Okay. And did it like look like it went away from these houses or like towards one of these houses?
It was at these houses and left as you approached.
Brick. Is there any way I could cast Magic Missile at it? Would it be within 120 feet? So yeah, if I see it, I would definitely try and hit it with a Magic Missile.
Okay, go ahead and roll damage for those.
What did I miss?
A lot.
Ah, shoot, this is freaking horrible. Okay, so total of 10 damage.
10 damage. Yeah, those little eyes don't have a ton of health to begin with, so I think 10 damage does it on those ones. Let me...
It'd be cool if it did.
Yeah, I think it does. At the very least, you blast off one of its wings and it kind of like spirals down and strikes the ground. It's probably a few feet down the road from you, 60 feet, so you can run and go grab it if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd go grab it.
Okay. You have a half-splattered eyeball with one wing attached to it. And these, and the wings, remember...
You can find that on D&D,
the wings, yeah. The wings are like those Twizzler style, you know, like those... It's like the eye tendons that attach to the brain that they form into the wing, so it's like this stringy goop that's just attached to it.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. What's next? About this time, Azel probably is able to leave the church. He didn't spend a ton of time there. Azel leaves and regroups.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't get anything else ping off, right?
No.
Okay. Well, I say we better talk to someone at least, see what they have, and go from there.
Well, he went to grab the eye thingy. Could Alondra do an investigation check to see if she saw anything similar to what she saw at that one house, that kind of trail of seaweed and sea salt?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and make an investigation check for me. Sweet.
As she's doing that, Azel's going to walk in and... Or I don't know if I've made it there yet. Or if I've Did I completely regroup?
Not quite yet. This is probably happening as you're talking to...
Okay. Walking.
Yeah,
it's
like
a 15.
Gotcha.
15.
Mhm.
Okay. Yeah, there does not seem to be seaweed or sea salt here at this house.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. But yeah, so the three of you can regroup outside of the house, ready to investigate, I guess that's where we'll call this episode of Dungeon Stories.
Sweet.
So, a little bit of a cliffhanger to go find out what.
Ha-ha.
To go talk to these kids who have returned. Yeah. Well, that was fun. That was D&D. I was gonna say something, but my mind just went blank. So I tried to recover, and I did so poorly.
I didn't expect that to work.
Didn't expect what to work?
Like getting everybody out, and then just be like, "Okay, what'd you get?" And then Bart just be like, "Nothing." Like I didn't.
Yeah, it did work out.
Yeah.
Bart's an adventurer, so he trusts your adventure and instincts, and you know he's ready to help where he can. So
where he can, Eagle.
He's like 60. Like, he's like in his 60s.
What the heck? Azel, so what, you can pay all my bills and buy me new things? No.
Sugar daddy.
Yeah. but everyone, thank you so much for checking out Dungeon Stories. It makes us so happy, and we love playing D&D, and we love being able to share that kind of creativity and camaraderie that the game brings. We like being able to share that. So it means the world to us. If you're on YouTube, like and subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know what you thought, let us know what you think is going to happen next, let us know the scariest monster that you would like to see the party fight.
I want to fight a Periton.
And maybe we'll work it in. Yeah, maybe we'll work it in. Maybe we'll bring in the Periton.
Yes.
If you are on iTunes, a 5-star review really helps us kind of get noticed. It helps us get visible. So that means the world. And then, of course, just good old-fashioned word-of-mouth advertising. Tell people about the show if they want to get into D&D or podcasts, or if they're not into either of those things, tell them anyway, and maybe they will be after they experience it. Maybe it will be a turning point. For now, everyone, thank you so much. We will see you next time on Dungeon Stories. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
See ya.